Throughout August, we have been exploring stories from Pastor Rhoda Preston's book, Thirsty, Reflections on Thirst as a Means of Grace, both in our Sunday worship and our Wednesday evening social gatherings on our new deck with Pastor Stina. Next week already, the end of August, we will have the joy of hearing Pastor Rhoda preach here at Crosswinds right here, the author of this here book right here. We're excited to welcome her, and we pray that her book has been a source of some inspiration for you. This morning, as we continue in our series, we remember one of the main premises of her book. On page 8, she writes, "When you're reading the Bible, I've discovered, water pops up everywhere, as it has been through the services in the last 4 weeks here at Crosswinds. It flows through the entire book, beginning with the creation story in Genesis and culminating with a shimmering river in Revelation's New Jerusalem, where God issues the ultimate invitation. Come. If you are thirsty, come. If you want life-giving water, come and take it. It's free. Come to the water," Rhoda Preston writes. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Some of you who know me well might already know this. But in my life, I have a very hard time settling my thoughts in my brain. In fact, I have said to many times to many friends, maybe even to you, "Well, my brain just has a mind of its own." And that really seems to be true for me. I'm just not successful clearing my thoughts and letting go. I can't do meditation. My mom was a therapist. I can't. I can't calm my brain in massage. I can't calm my brain during yoga. During yoga and massage, I'm going, well, as soon as she's done with this, you know, I can get out there and get my stuff done. I can't even sit on my deck and quiet my brain. I got to have my book or my music or my planner or my calendar. Nothing ever works for me. But when I'm around nature's God-created bodies of water, by it, in it, the side of it, walking in it, my mind, poof, it just clears like magic. So this week at the lake, as soon as we pull up in the car, I want to walk down to the water. And I see the sparkle dancing on the water like diamonds, and I just feel this, oh, God is going to be with me here now. And I'm not thinking about my calendar, my to-do list, my accomplishments. It just clears like magic. So I have three places in Maple Grove. So it's a little hint for you if you want to take out your notes. Three places in Maple Grove where when I just feel like I've tried everything and I am just overwhelmed and nothing seems to be working for me to clear my mind. One of them is the Elm Creek Dam right behind my house. I live up on the north end. And I have a path right into Elm Creek Park, right outside my back door. And if you walk down by the creek a little bit north of the Arbor Lakes area, or the park there, there's a dam. And if I climb down on the rocks down there, which I do, and I don't bring my book or my phone, and the water's running not too dry, I could sit there for hours. And it actually clears my mind. It's a great little spot. I shouldn't have told you all. You'll probably be there tomorrow now. The second place I go is if I have to run errands early in the morning in particular, which sometimes I do, I'll go down to Arbor Lakes right behind Town Green. There's a little peninsula with about 10 Adirondack chairs there. And I go out to the end one, and yes, I can see Cub, and I can see the community center. I can even see the government center. I can see all these places, but I just focus on just that little bit of water, and I can pray and talk to God. It's a great little spot. If you haven't been there, it's a good one. My other favorite spot is a lot of times I'm running back and forth between here along by church here, and if I get real overwhelmed, I go down to Weaver Lake Beach, right down the road here. Because what's really neat there is they have benches that are above the beach that look on the water. So you can sit there, even if people are at the beach, you really can't even see them. You can just sit at the water and look at the lake. It's especially great in the evening because the sun sets over the water. Those are my three favorite places in Maple Grove. It just clears my mind. I just feel God speaking to me, and it's not about my to-do list or agenda. And my third thing that is really meaningful to me is I try my hardest once a year to get to the ocean. And I think it might seem selfish. People are like, yeah, she got to go on vacation, hotty-totty to the ocean. Because as soon as I get to that place, wherever I'm staying, and I see the beach, I just drop my suitcase. I'm down there with my feet in the water, whether it's 10 in the morning or 10 at night. Got to go say hello to the ocean. And every day I walk. I can walk an hour. At home, I can't walk an hour. At the beach, an hour down, an hour back, just me and the ocean. I can sit there. These are the places that just really clear my mind, and it's all got to do with this water, this concept of water. Somehow the shower or the pool, doesn't do it for me. But walking on the beach is important, and I always go down to the beach and say goodbye before I leave, and I say, see you next year. Now, I know in Rhoda's book, especially in this chapter, she's talking about drinking in the springs of water. But isn't that another way or a metaphor for drinking in the springs? You don't have to actually physically drink it, right? You're still drinking in that Holy Spirit that you feel from the water. Today, we're going to consider a more particular theme of the water, and that's the life-giving water that's mentioned repeatedly in the Bible. Over and over throughout the whole Bible, there's messages about water. And in our gospel reading for today from John 4, Jesus tells us, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life. What exactly is Jesus talking about? Just what is that life-giving spring of water? What are some of the places and incidents in the Bible where water is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit? We're going to take a look at a short video produced by the Bible Project on the biblical images of the kinds of water Jesus offers. It's called The Water of Life. Let's consider this an invitation from Jesus.
If you go out into a desert, you'll see why it's one of the most deadly, uninhabitable places on the planet. It's dry, and where there's no water, there's no life.
This is the picture that we get on page 2 of Genesis. The story begins with a dry and desolate wilderness, but God provides a spring in the desert that becomes a source of life for plants and animals.
And that's where God brings together a man and a woman so that humanity can flourish and spread the life of the garden.
Exactly. And that garden spring becomes a river that flows out to water the entire world. And there can be enough for everyone. It's all a gift from God.
And this is great. Humans in a lush garden, but as it turns out, they find a way to ruin it.
Right. Despite all of this water that God's provided, it's like they still have a drought deep inside of them. This is an image of the human condition, how we're always thirsty for more.
But more of what?
Well, in this story, the humans want more wisdom to create more security and more control on their own terms. And tragically, it only leaves them more thirsty and suspicious of each other, and so they end up back in the wilderness.
The humans have lost access to the water of life.
And because of that, they can't spread God's life into the world.
And so God needs to rescue them from the wilderness.
Yeah, like in the story of Jacob. His selfish scheming ruined his family relationships, so he has to run from his problems out into the wilderness. But there, he finds a well, and he meets a woman.
This is like Eden, a man and a woman together by a source of water.
Right. And then through Jacob, God creates the family of Israel, and he invites them to share in his own life so that they can be his partners in spreading that life to others. And sometimes they do this.
But ultimately, they struggle with the same drought of the soul, thirsting for more power, more control, and it leads them down a path of violence and self-ruin.
And so they find themselves in a new wilderness, captive to other nations.
All this effort to quench our own thirst on our own terms, it's killing us.
Yeah, the biblical prophet Ezekiel described Israel in exile as a pile of dry bones, scattered in a desert valley. But, he said, one day God will pour out his own life presence, his spirit, to water the land, to create a new Eden and new kinds of humans.
People who can spread God's life to others.
Exactly. And so this brings us to the story of Jesus.
Right. And there's a story about Jesus who goes to a well that Jacob used to own.
And just like in Jacob's story, Jesus meets a woman. And he tells this woman that no matter how much water she drinks from this well, she'll always thirst for more. Then he offers water that could quench her thirst forever.
He's not talking about the well water.
No. What he's talking about is God's own life that comes through him to us to satisfy our deepest thirsts. This is why later on Jesus says, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink."
This is cool. But it's also a strange image, drinking from a person.
Totally. And it's connected to another strange image we find in the story of Jesus' death on the cross.
A Roman soldier thrusts a spear in Jesus' side, and there's blood. But also, all this water flows out.
Yes, it's an image showing how Jesus' death is a fountain of life. From him, God's own love that would die for his enemies flows down and out into the world.
After Jesus was raised from the dead, we're told that he sends the Spirit into his followers.
Yes, to fill them up with God's own life. This is why the Apostle Paul said that when we join the current of God's Spirit, the fruit of Eden starts growing in us. Love and joy, patience and kindness, gentleness and self-control.
People like that can create beautiful things in the world that bring life to others.
Yes, like little streams of God's life that can come together and point forward to the beautiful scene that we find on the last page of the Bible.
There's a new river of life.
Yes, it's flowing out from God and into a renewed creation, bringing life to all wherever it goes.
You are interested in digging deeper into what all this means. I encourage you to join Pastor Stina on the deck this Wednesday at 6:30 for her weekly devotions about Thirsty, the book, or you could read chapter 13, which is what that video is kind of goes along with, a Pastor Rhoda Preston's book. As she reminds us, even though it is not pleasant being thirsty, it is important for us to listen to these signals, because they help us recognize something is missing. She writes, "The same is true for spiritual thirst. When our souls feel parched, this spiritual thirstiness raises a red flag for us. Warning, warning. No, things are not okay. You're facing a genuine need for God's presence and power in your life. So pay attention to that thirst." As we gather for worship today, what is it that you thirst for? What is going on in your life or in this world that you feel needs some attention? What red flags are being raised up for you to think about? When we gather for worship, part of what we are called to do is to pay attention to those thirsts and share them with Jesus. What are some practical ways we know whether we are spiritually dehydrated and we are in need? Pastor Rhoda teaches that one potential clue is emotional exhaustion, a feeling of dissatisfaction, a feeling of emptiness, as if all joy and enthusiasm for life have simply evaporated away. Friends, if you're experiencing this kind of thirst, know that Jesus is here. Whether you are spiritually dehydrated or just in need of a small drink, Jesus offers us hope. Once again, in our scripture reading for today, Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life. So today, let's hold fast to the good news that when we are connected to Jesus, God can quench all our thirsts. He is strong enough to handle all our problems. He is bold enough to give us the Holy Spirit to bring wisdom, love, and miracles into the world. When we stay connected to Him, when we experience a taste of that water of life that is so connected deeply with God, we get eternal life right here and right now. And part of that water of life flows through us. This week, I pray you may drink deeply of Jesus. May you experience the joy of that eternal life bubbling up in you. May you be renewed to be signs of faith and hope and love to one another and the world around you. Amen.